Transformation of America by Mark Phillips and Kathy O'Brien. Chapter 17, About Faces. Soon after Kelly was inducted into George Bush's neighborhood through horrific sexual abuse, Bush enforced his controls on me. Our mind control handler, Alex Houston, had taken Kelly and me to Washington, D.C. for separately scheduled meetings with Bush. Kelly had already been escorted by agents to her rendezvous with him that morning, during which time I had been ordered to one of U.S. Senator Robert C. Byrd's offices located in the nearby FBI Hoover Building. There, Byrd reinforced his holds on me by claiming control of the Justice Department and proving once again that I had nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. My horror reaction was compounded when Byrd looked at his pocket watch and notified me in Alice in Wonderland cryptic language, you're late for a very important date, referring to my meeting with Bush. I sprinted from the Hoover Building, encountering Houston, who waited just outside. Houston hurried me to the Smithsonian, where I waited for my escorts as instructed at the face-changing exhibit. This computerized exhibit illustrates how an individual's face can take on a radically different appearance by slightly altering any single feature. The exhibit fascinated me as a programmed MPD, since multiples often experience the unnerving phenomena of routinely not recognizing themselves in a mirror due to switching personalities. A multiple's face often changes slightly with each switch, which validates the religious community's perceptions of so-called demonic possession in occultism. Logic quickly dispels this belief when it is realized that everyone's expression changes according to emotion, by skin color and tones, blood pressure, and by tightening or relaxing specific micromuscles. An MPD's face changes are more exaggerated when these natural conditions are combined with the results of sophisticated programming / charm school. Teaches subconscious control over these natural phenomena as a ready-made disguise on government slaves such as myself, as well as to enhance sex slaves' beauty to their maximum potential. I was incapable of thinking or logically understanding my fascination with the display, as I stood totally enthralled, waiting for my escorts as ordered. As the escorts approached, I was relieved to see Kelly with them. Though she was visibly tranced and traumatized, the fact that she was alive was all I was capable of grasping. When she saw the face-changing exhibit, she excitedly exclaimed, "Uncle George, just read me a book about this." Before I could hear any more, I was led away, leaving Kelly with our handler, Houston. I was then quickly taken to Bush's residence office, which heretofore was unfamiliar to me. Although it had slate blue, plush carpets and fine furnishings like the White House office, lattice work in smaller rooms provided a different air. I sat in a hardback wooden chair as ordered, while Bush carefully positioned himself in front of me on a little wooden footstool. This allowed me clear visibility of the large book that he held in his lap. All illustrations faced me, while all text except the last page was printed in the holder's direction. This book was a unique, high-tech piece of art specifically designed to enforce Bush's favorite method of programming, "You are what you read." The juvenile face depicted on the front of this hardcover book gave it the appearance of a children's storybook. It was entitled About Faces. Bush explained the dynamics of changing faces and becoming what I read. Although I had been conditioned to this idea all of my life through Disney stories, The Wizard of Oz, Alice in Wonderland, etc., I was not prepared for Bush's version of "You are what you read" programming explanations. The illustrations themselves were elaborate, consisting of mirrors and hypnotic depictions. He seemingly made the book come alive in my mind as he read page after poetic page of hypnotic, metaphorical language, all the while creating powerful illusions. His impersonations of the characters further enhanced the desired effect of fantasy becoming reality. This extraordinary effort to scramble reality would have worked perfectly had it not been for another victim and myself discussing it only a few days later. The purpose of Bush's book was dearly explained within the first few pages, which included the following passage. "I am the vice president when circumstance demands, and I am your commander. You'll follow my commands. The first command's important. It is one you will heed. When I send you a book, you are what you read. Throughout my tenure as a presidential model mind-controlled slave, I was provided specific books according to Bush's program. These books, delivered through pre-established channels such as Ken Riley, Alex Houston, and even Ronald Reagan, came complete with specific commands on how they were to be interpreted and used. Some books were used to instruct me on operations, some were an attempt to scramble my memory with fantasy, others were used to load my mind with pertinent data such as bank account passbook numbers, and so on. I was provided a paperback book entitled Afghanistan, from which I absorbed history, current political events, and the strength of the Afghani freedom fighters. I have since learned that the book I read was never publicly released in the text it was provided me. According to instruction, the book was delivered back to Bush as quickly as I finished memorizing it. I wonder in retrospect if any part of it contained fact beyond how I was supposed to perceive it. I read stories of espionage, including Robert Ludlum's Bourne Identity, and William Dial's Chameleon. Mostly I was provided steamy sex novels for further training as well as scrambles. Kelly was conditioned to fairy tales, Steven Spielberg's ET, NASA's R operative George Lucas' Star Wars, and the nightmarish never-ending story. Steinbeck's classic of Mice and Men caused Kelly constantly to quote the dependent character of Lenny for years saying, "Tell me what to do, George." She still does this each and every time I am allowed to visit with her in the mental institution. The attending therapist overseeing the visit has yet to pick up on this programming cue, and I am forbidden by juvenile court order not to discuss Kelly's past or therapy. Bush's most effective example of, "You are what you read," in his book about faces occurred during his reading of the page depicting lizard-like aliens from a far-off, deep space place. Claiming to me to be an alien himself, Bush apparently activated a hologram of the lizard-like alien which provided the illusion of Bush transforming like a chameleon before my eyes. In retrospect, I understand that Bush had been painstakingly careful in positioning our seats in order that the hologram's effectiveness be maximized. U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Aquino's occultism provided trauma sufficient to maintain my Project Monarch mind-controlled existence despite his inability to affect my core spirituality. Therefore, I was not routinely subjected to the other favorite, trauma of choice, alien themes like many slaves, including Kelly, I knew had been. The effect of Bush's illusion hologram on such victims is binding and strong. Even Aquino envied the mind-shattering effects of Bush's alien theme visual traumas to the extent that he wrote and published his own comic book sequel to Lucas' Star Wars. While occultism is easily dispelled with reason and fact, Bush's alien theme continues to be reinforced through NASA's involvement in mind control atrocities. Additionally, California's 24-year incumbent Senator Alan Cranston of the Select Committee on Intelligence has perpetuated this trauma base for decades, as have others. Despite my having escaped routine alien-themed traumas, Bush's "You Are What You Read" hologram proved devastatingly sufficient for him to gain total control of my robotic mind from that moment on until my rescue in 1988. By the time Bush reached the last page of his About Faces book, I was so traumatized I instantly became what I read when I read the last verse aloud as ordered. "I am a true patriot living an American dream. I will become my role when you pull my string. I will become my part, so I can be all I can be, 'cause just like the vice president, I am what I read."